You found Luke 16, if y'all wouldn't mind saying amen for me here this morning. Luke 16, and we're going to start reading it in verse number 19. And it says here, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiving thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abram said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophet, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And I want to look at this thought, and I know it's on the scripture of hell here this morning, but I just want to look at this thought. It's fixed. It's fixed. I want to look at that, if God would help us. Can we pray? Dear my Father, again, we love you. God, we sure do need you this morning. God, we're asking, God, that you'd touch the hearts of your people this morning. God, I pray we would not cut off this scripture. Lord, that we'd listen to it attentive. Lord, that our hearts would be receptive. God, I pray that you'd just do a work that only you can do. God, I do pray for those that might be lost among us here this morning. God, I'm praying for Holy Ghost conviction to fall on that individual. God, that this would be that glad day that they'd be birthed into the family of God. God, we're asking for an eternal work to be done here today. God, we prayed and we beseeched thee all day yesterday. God, we've desired your help in a most definite way. So, God, I'm asking, would you touch me one more time? God, I'm needing the unction from above. I'm praying, Lord, that you allow me to preach with the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God. God, that you allow my words to come easy, that the message would be heard attentively and distinctly. God, I'm asking, would you do that which only you can do? Lord, be with our audience that's listening by the way of video this morning and those that will be watching through the week. Lord, I pray that you'd touch their heart as well. God, we ask that you would just get all glory, all honor, and all praise. And we ask it in the name which is above every name. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Y'all may be seated. This is the story about hell. And hell is real. It's not just a fictional story that's made up and that it's just there for something to go over. 13, I think the pastor said last week that 13 miles below our feet is where hell is at. It's a place of torments. Of course, we'll look at that. But I do want to look at this story if God would help us. Number one, we see the marvelous lifestyle that's here in verse number 19. Because we're introduced to some characters in this story. And this is a real story. It is a real individual with two real eternities, heaven and hell. We see here that there is that marvelous lifestyle because first we're introduced to the rich man that was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. We see his sacred clothes. He had that clothes that most people would dream about. He was dressed accordingly. He had the finest things that his culture offered at his time. And may I say, there's a lot of people put their statue and or their status on what they wear and what they got. Well, can I say, I appreciate folks dressing right and living right. I appreciate that. But I think sometimes people put emphasis on how they live as how God is blessing them. Well, can I say this individual had everything life had to offer. He had the fine clothes. He had his sacred clothes. He had his sumptuous lifestyle. In other words, he had a lifestyle that was above average to most people. But can I say he had his self-indulgence because he fared sumptuously, and the Bible says, every day. In other words, he was that of a self-indulgence. He had comfort. He had the ease of life. He had luxury. He had extravagance living. Can I say, if you was to look at him and by the way that he lived, you'd say, God is surely blessing him. But can I say, there's a lot of people that are living a luxurious lifestyle, but God is far from them. Don't know who God is, does not have a relationship with God, don't have that association with God. They are just as lost as can be. Well, can I say this rich man, he definitely had a marvelous lifestyle. But can I say this? We see the second individual that's here, he had a miserable lifestyle because it said in verse number 20, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores. Can I say we see the beggar who was named Lazarus? Can I say that word beggar, when you look it up to see the definition of that, it means to be that, of that where you would cringe. And that which would you'd come by and you would look at him and or something comes over you that you would just have that disdain against them. Well, can I say we do that today to those that are standing on the corner of the stoplights up there at the airport road, and they're professional beggars, and I do know that, and that they are those that are hanging their signs up. At least one of them guys is honest down there. I don't agree with it, but he's got a sign that says, "I just need weed." At least he's honest about what he's going to do with that. He's probably one of the richest men down there, but can I tell you that lifestyle that he's living is going to send him straight to the pit of hell? Can I say this beggar that here, you cringe. And can I say sadly in our day, we're looking at people that are lost and we look at how they're living and we're cringing at them. Amen. I know where I'm right on this. I mean, we look at how they got and all the things they're wearing and not wearing and the way their hair looks and the things they look, and we say, God can't save them. Well, I'm going to tell you, sinner friend, God, you are a good recipient this morning to be saved by the grace of God. I'm not one that cringes at how you come into this church. Amen. I see you as a soul that Jesus loved and died on the cross of Calvary so that you can be saved by the grace of God. Amen. And I tell you, I'm not cringing at you. Amen. I love you, amen, and I'm praying God will save you. But in our independent Baptist churches, I'm afraid we're doing what most people are doing. When we see beggars and sinners, we're cringing at them. Amen. And I say we don't need to cringe at them. But may I say we see that beggar. And can I ask you how you're looking at him? Amen. Can I say the corset's here? He said here in verse 20, he said, a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desired to be fed. Listen at this. With the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And I say, he was a beggar. His course, he wanted the bread. And I thought about bringing in a loaf of bread this morning, but I'm telling you, a loaf of bread's too expensive to waste it. Say amen right there. But can I say, all this beggar was wanting is that these rich men were so rich that they would wash their hands, and when they would take the bread and dry their hands with the bread and throw it on the floor. Well, can I tell you, that beggar, what he was begging for is just that bread that had their filthy old hands on, that was crumbled up and watered down with the water they washed their hands. He just wanted the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And I say, we see the course, we see the curse. because he was full of sores, the Bible says. And it says he was laid at the gate full of sores. And he was there. And all of a sudden the dogs came and licked his sores. And can I say, I know some people say a dog's licking you is got some kind of medical thing to it. I don't like a dog to lick me. Amen. I mean, I have a Belgian Malinois at the house, and I'll ask her, I say, give me a kiss, and she won't lick my face, but she'll put that tongue out there. I don't like a dog. I don't want him licking my toes. Say amen. I don't want his tongue all over me, but this beggar, he was in such a dire strait, he couldn't even shoo the dog away. That dog was licking that man's sores all day long. And probably the only relief that beggar ever had was by what that dog was licking. And I say that miserable lifestyle. Then we see the materializing of this story here in verse number 22. It says, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. But then there's the second man. That rich man also died and was buried. And I tell you, we've got the corpse setter here. We got two people, and the rich man died and the beggar died. And so we see two bodies. We see that they were carried. One was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom, but the other man was carried and was buried. And can I tell you, there's a great contrast that's going on here. But can I tell you, there's that covering. And I say they were buried. That rich man probably had a most elaborate funeral that you could have. He probably had some of the most distinguishing people that lifted him up, told how good he was, how he was so good to society when in reality he was terrible to society. He never helped that beggar, not one time. He didn't lift the finger to help the poor. All he was worried about was his sumptuous lifestyle and the lifestyle that he lived. And I tell you, there's a lot of folks that are sitting around. All you're worried about is you, you, and you. And that's all it is, me, I, and mine. And you're trying to fulfill a lifestyle because you've got a void in your life, and you're trying to fill it with sin, and you're trying to fill it with sin, and you're trying to fill it with sin. Well, can I tell you, that sinful lifestyle of that rich man didn't help him out not one iota. Can I say, you will die, ma'am or sir, you're appointed to die. There's a time to be born in Ecclesiastes, and he says, and there's a time to die. And when you read the obituary column, can I tell you that death is no respecter of person. I've read them as young as a stillborn, and I've read them as high as 100 plus years old, and I've read them obituary columns and everything in between, from those that lived in their 20s and 18, and some of you all think you're young and got the tiger by the tail. Well, I'll tell you, death has an appointment with you, and it could be today. Amen. You could die before you leave this church. You could go down the road and have a terrible accident, and you can die. Can I tell you, you will die. It's coming. I'm 52 years old. If I live to see 70, I've got 18 short years left. My life is about over. But I could die tomorrow. You could die right now, sitting in that church pew. Oh, that won't happen. Well, it has. There's been people who have kicked against the very things of God, took them out. There's people who have kicked against the very things of God, didn't get a mile down the road, and was in a car accident and burned to death. Death is no respecter of person. You will die. All of us will. And I say there was that funeral for the rich man, but the funeral for the beggar was just a meager funeral. They didn't have that elaborate burial. But I want to get to this, if God would help us. We see the misery that's here. Misery that's in here in verse number 23. Because it said this, and in. That word in means it's fixed. You can't get out. You'll never leave. Can I say, it is something when you enter in to this place called hell, it's for eternity. I mean, it is forever, and God pins her down one more time in Revelation, forever and ever. And if you die without God, and you're here living in your sinful lifestyle, and God has given you time and time and time again, can I tell you, God is not obligated to convict you at any more in your life. He can leave you to yourself. But can I say, I'm thankful for the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God. But may I say, the compassing's here. And the Bible says, in hell, that place of torments. Can I say, there's a consequences here. Because this rich man, church members be praying. Can I say, in hell, he lifted up his eyes being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Can I say that word, and he lift up, it's present tense. It's what he's doing now. He's below you and I now. Lifting his eyes up. He's looking right now. But can I tell you, his look can't help him. But we see the consequences. And can I say, there is a torment in hell. Jesus describes the torments in hell in such a fashion. As I was studying this out, Lord, help me here this morning. And as I was studying this out, can I tell you, hell is punishment and it's forever. Can I tell you, in the book of Mark, chapter number 9, the Lord was talking about the hands, the foot, and the eye. And can I say, he was talking about how it can hinder you. And can I say, your hand can hinder you, sir. That girl you might be holding on to that's not your wife and living in a fornicating and adulterous affair with that individual. It's a great sin. Say amen. And yet there's a lot of men that you'll die and go to hell holding on to that young girl's hand. God says it's better for you to take it off. Remove it. Then he tells us why. Because having two hands to go in hell into the fire that never shall be quenched. It's never satisfied. Can I tell you, hell is never satisfied. And I want you to watch this, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. He talks about the foot, and that they having two feet to be cast in hell, and into the fire that's never to be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. He says it the third time about the eye. And I tell you, he says, and where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Can I tell you, there is a torment in hell. And I say, this torment that is in hell, he's talking about that worm. It's a legitimate worm. You have your worm. If you die and go to hell, there'll be a worm and a crawl all over you. You'll try to swish it away, but you can't. It'll be everywhere. No matter what you do, you'll feel that worm for eternity. And they say that worm will gnaw at you and will bite you. It'll agitate you for eternity. I can't stand a bug or those no-see-ums. But you can't see them, but man, your hand will go on fire the minute they start eating you up. And you're doing this with your hand, trying to get them no-see-ums off of you. Well, you'll spend eternity with a worm that's gnawing at you, biting you, agitating you. You're trying to get it away. There's nothing you can do. Continue to do that through eternity. Can I say that worm? We'll come back to that worm. Can I say there only that, but we see that there's that outer darkness that Jesus talks about. It's that place where there's no light, without gleam, with no hope. No chance of ever escaping it. There'll never be a place that you will live completely incapacitated, helpless and hopeless, far away from the splendors and glory and the brightness of God's presence. You'll forever, if you don't get saved by the grace of God, you'll forever be cast out in a place where they say darkness that you can feel. Then the Bible says there will be weeping and gnashing teeth. That word weep and be wailing. And I was reading yesterday that when they offered their children to Molech, and when they laid that baby on the arms of Molech and burned that baby alive, that mom would hear that crying baby, and she would wail, "Oh, God!" That's what you'll be doing in hell. You'll be wailing, nobody to help. Oh! 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 All through eternity. You'll be wailing, gnashing teeth. You'll grind. Just as somebody was telling me about a pain they had, it was so harsh that they literally put a washcloth in their mouth so nobody else could hear them scream. That's what that gnashing of teeth is. You'd grind. And that grinding is because of the severe pain. Also means that mad. Also, when you grind, you usually get mad at somebody. It's the reason why boxers have to wear a mouthpiece. They break their teeth because they're so mad and pent up. I'd say there's going to be those that grind your teeth because you're so much in rage in hell. And I'd say there's torments in hell. And this is what hell, and my words can't describe it to its degree. To the best of my ability, I try to. But in reality, our words and our minds can't really comprehend of what hell is going to be like for eternity. But it's torments. He said, while he was in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Jesus described it. And I say there's that, the what it is. Can I say we see the crying? Because he cries out. Watch what he does. Verse 24. This is that rich man. "Father Abraham, have mercy on me." And what he was saying is, "God help." Lazarus, his name, means God is my helper. His help was laying at his gate day and day, old Lazarus. And as he walked by, he was reminded day after day, "God is your help. God is your help." And here you are. You're sitting under good fundamental preaching week after week at Fairhaven, trying to show you that God is your help. And you're walking over the help that God has for you. Every day that he went by, when he's sitting in hell, reminding, "Have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip." God's help. God couldn't help that rich man in hell. And what a shame it would be for you to sit in this service again, God dealing with you, and you walking over the very thing that God wants to do before you get to hell, is help you, save you, redeem you, birth you into his family, and you would very well, and when you go to hell, ma'am or sir, you'll be stepping over the very word of God to go to hell. That rich man walked past Lazarus day after day after day. God sent a reminder at his gate. God is your help. You're walking over it. Oh, can I say the cry? "Have mercy on me." And that rich man below us is still probably crying out, "Oh, God, help me." Can I say there's the cry, his craving, his thirst. He said, "Send Lazarus." And oh, how a cold bottle of water, a drink from a far country, can sure help an individual out. refreshing to the soul. But you'll never taste another drop of water in your life. It's amazing to me that this rich man never called for liquor. He didn't call for some other substance. He was crying for that old water. Oh, can I tell you? And some say that water represents the Word of God. And oh, how that Word has quenched my thirst. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be satisfied. Oh, can I tell you that Word has satisfied my soul all these years. And I say there is that thirst, that cooling. He said, just a cool, just a tip. Just to quench it for a little while. Then we see the cooking. Because he says in the cool of my tongue in verse 24, for I am in torment. Ian fixed this flame. Can't get out of it. He's in it. It's all around him. Oh, how we can have a fire and everybody will find an escape route. And we've had our conversations at home. If our house ever catches on fire and you can't get out of your room, go out this or go out that, and we have an escape route. Well, can I tell you, in hell there's no escape route. You're in it, amen. And there's no escape in the flames of hell. And I say there's the cognitive of this, because he comes down in verse 25. And he says, Abraham said, son, remember that thou in thy lifestyle receiveth the good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted. Thou art tormented. You'll remember this, sir. You'll remember that service last weekend. God dealt with you. You walked out the door. You don't get saved, you'll remember every time Pastor Chris Norris has beckoned you to come. You'll remember every song that's sung. Every testimony's ever been given about how good it is to be saved by the grace of God. You'll remember every prayer. You'll remember every face. You take a good look at me, sir. If you die and go to hell, you'll see my face in hell, but I won't be there. You'll remember me. And that worm is a type of that gnawing, literally a worm. One writer said this, that worm is the memory and the conscience that never leaves a man alone. It is that disturbs and reminds him of what he missed out on of getting saved by the grace of God. Your mind will be eaten up with those messages and those convictions when God convicted you of your sin. You didn't accept it. It'll gnaw at you forever and ever. Forever and ever. You say, well, hell ain't that bad, really. We see the message of the man, because he got down here and all of a sudden he says, I pray thee. It's probably the only time the man ever prayed in his life, because if he'd have prayed before, God would have heard him if he prayed the prayer of repentance. But he says, I pray. He has a desire, because he comes down and he says, he commissions, send him. Send Lazarus, who God is my help. Send them. And can I tell you, God has burdened my soul all week, ever since I knew I was coming back this morning. God has put it in the recesses of my soul to preach from this morning, and to tell you that rich man has a message for you this morning. He said, send them. And can I say, he says,
and tell them at the Father's house. He said, go to my Father's house. And his concern is not to come in this place of torment. Don't go. We see a cycle because Abraham says they have Moses and the prophets. Can I tell you, this is what you have, preacher that's concerned for your soul. Man of God who is burdened for you. Preacher that couldn't sleep last night. I literally wallered my sheets off my bed last night. People I was praying for that would get saved by the grace of God. Concerned, if you don't respond, could very well be your last opportunity to be saved by the grace of God. And I say there is that cycle. You have an opportunity. Now is the accepted time. Today is the set day of salvation. Right now is your opportunity. But can I have the conclusion here and I'll be done? I know Brother Norris made a statement the other night that hell has no heroes, and he's right. But the devil has some heroes. Can I tell you, the devil has the hero of adultery. Can I say he's using adultery to suck a lot of people into hell for just a few seconds of enjoyment. He's going to suck you into hell because of that girl or that boy you're hanging on to. Can I say he has the hero of fornication? He has the hero of homosexuality. He has the heroes of sodomy, of uncleanness and drunkenness. He has the heroes of murders, witchcraft and idolatry. The heroes of jealousy and pride and lies, blasphemy and envy and strife. He has the heroes of heresy and haters of God and the haters of truth. And can I tell you, he's got the heroes of a reprobate mind. And these sins are sucking you in, taking you straight into the pit of hell. There are no heroes in hell. The devil will not be a hero in hell. Your rock stars won't be heroes in hell. Your movie stars will not be heroes in hell. Those sex perverts will not be heroes in hell. Sports stars will not be heroes of hell. Politicians will not be heroes in hell. And may I say, the Pope won't be no heroes in hell. There is no heroes in hell. You're by yourself. And I say, in hell, there's no love. And I say, hell has no gifts, which is sharing of the love. Can I tell you, sir, you may hear I love you down here, but you'll never hear I love you in hell. Just to hear those words, I love you, will never be heard ever again in hell. The devil don't love you. He's a father of liars and a murderer from the beginning. He has no compassion to you. There's no joy in hell. There's no sweetness of love. There's no peace in hell. There's no grace in hell. There's no long-suffering in hell. No gentleness, no goodness, no faith, no meekness, temperance. No affection, patience, or hope. There's no truth. There's no gospel and there's no glory in hell. And I want you to think about this. There's no sound of happy laughter will ever be heard in hell. There'll be no birds singing in hell. There'll be no brooks running and calming the troubled soul. There'll be no breeze to blow to refresh a weary worker. There'll be no music or singing. No light, no flowers will ever bloom on the banks of hell. Those children that brighten your day, better look at them, ma'am. And those little girls and those little boys look at you smiling. And how they brighten a room. And how much joy a little child as you hold your precious young man, and the joy that they bring you. There'll be no children that will ever brighten your day in hell. It's a lonely place. Can I say in hell, there's no mercy, no pity, no pardon, no grace, no beauty. Just the pangs of a lost that no human can tell. Not one moment of ease. Not one rest in hell. Hell is a terrible place. Hell was designed for the devil and all his demons. When you get to Revelation 20, He'll be the first that'll be cast in the lake of fire. He'll be the first one to go forever and ever. As the Bible says that the devil, all right, if you think he's your friend, the devil that deceived them was cast. He didn't walk in. He's cast in to the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night, forever and ever. But can I tell you, sinner friend, you don't accept the grace of God, you're going to stand before God at the white throne judgment. You're going to be judged. The Bible tells us, if you don't accept Jesus and your name's not written down in the Lamb's book of life, you too will be cast where the devil is. Where the Stalins and the Osama bin Ladens, the O.J. Simpsons. When he died the other day, he split hell wide open if he didn't get saved. You'll be with all those hard rock players that gave their life and sold their soul to the devil. You'll be down there with some of the highest perverted serial rapists and murderers that this world has ever seen. People that killed in the Bible because they were too evil. You'll be right with them. But you'll be alone. All them people down there, but yet you won't see any of them. Because there's a flame, darkness, that you can feel. And I was reading yesterday that there is a flame that puts off no light. Because it gets so hot, there's no light to it. And hell is going to be so hot that you won't have no light. It'll be darkness. Made for the devil. And I say, and I saw this. Do you ever notice in this scripture that God never called the rich man by name? Can I tell you why? Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Well, I'm a good man. If you have never been saved, God does not know you. He only called Lazarus by name because he knew him. Is there any hope, preacher? Oh, there is. Oh, is there help? Does Jesus care? Oh, yes, Jesus cares. Oh, can I tell you, the God of heaven came down and took upon him the robe of flesh, became a servant, amen. Oh, he walked on this earth some 33 and a half years. A man who knew no sin set his face like a flint to the cross of Calvary, amen. And he went there and he died for your sins and my sins, amen. He was buried and rose on that third and glorious day, amen. Amen. A man who knew no sin became sin for us. Amen. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary so that you and I could be saved by the grace of God. There's no other way. Oprah's a liar, saying there's multiple ways into heaven. There is none. There's only one. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Jesus is the only way, sinner friend, that you'll ever enter into the portals of glory. Just like that thief that was on the right side on that cross. Father, remember me. Lord, remember me. And he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I say, sinner friend, if you're lost, you can be saved. Oh, he won't save me. Oh, yes, he will. The Bible says in John 6, I believe it is, says, all those that will come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And I say, for whosoever, not a whensoever, but whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, sinner friend, have you been putting it off too long? God has dealt with you time and time again. May I ask you, that sin you're doing and holding on to, is it worth going to hell over? Is that girl worth going to hell over? Is that man worth going to hell over? Is that pornography worth going to hell over? Is that drug worth going to hell over? Is that sin of whatever it is it worth going to hell over? It is not. That rich man in hell, he's in torment. That worm is gnawing at him. Just his remembrance. The time that he had to get saved and walked over it. Day after day. Once you're in hell, it's fixed. I was at Ingalls in Etowah a couple years ago. And I saw this car was spray painted. And I said, well, I said, somebody done run around on somebody. Sure as a world. And I was looking at it. I couldn't read it from where I was at, so when I finally got up to it, this is what it said on the side of the car, preacher. Party in hell has been canceled due to fire. You think you're going to go to hell and party it up? You're so wrong. If you think you're going to go to hell and just dissolve, you're so wrong. It's forever. And ever. With no end. You're going to feel that worm, man, crawling all over you. Gnawing at you. Biting. Darkness that you can feel. Wailing. Oh, God. Grinding of your teeth. Hell is a place of torment. Hell was only designed for the devil. But those that reject it, and I'm going to say this, and I'm done, preacher. You come on. If you go to hell, I want you to know, man and sir, you're going to hell with your sin debt paid. He died for the past, present, and the future sins on the cross of Calvary. Your sin debt has already been paid. But you'll walk over your sin being paid, and you'll pay her again in hell. Why don't you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by the grace of God? Why put it off? Why step it off? Why walk over God's help? And God just wants to save you. Let us stand. Sister, you come. Preacher, you come. Everybody stand. Nobody looking around. I'm turning the invitation over to the pastor.